Hey, what's up? It's Ice-T, and you're listening to Yeah, But Still. And I'm Ice motherfucking T. Stay horny, friend. Yeah, but still. But I'm saying, yeah, but still. That's what's up. Peace from Ice-T. Respect.
Everybody. Ooh. I'm feeling very good.
I'm juiced off the iced tea can.
I am. I drank the iced tea this morning and I'm feeling wonderful.
It's coursing through your veins. I mean, honestly, the thing about what I love about iced tea's cameo specifically is the thing about cameo in general, it's sort of a lot of the selection on there, you go through, it's a lot of like reality stars or like Vine stars or whatever who are, they're doing it from like a place of like, I need this. Ice-T is on one of the most successful TV shows of all time. And I think that the only reason why he's on Cameo is just because he is on his phone so much.
And he's a nice guy.
And he's a nice guy. And he tweets constantly. And so he's like, I might as well make some money.
We could easily put a pin on Ice-T because I could talk. I could do a whole pod on Ice-T and why I like.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, we should intro
bring in our guest who we got here from
Tim
Cameo.
Dillon's here.
Yeah, thank
Tim
you,
Dillon. We paid. Well, how much are we going to pay for this?
You this were on is Cameo. Very little. I'm going to finish the Vietnamese sandwich that you started earlier, but that's my fee. That is my fee. No, I'm not. I'm not on Cameo. No one would. I would get a few people, but it would be sad. Like, I think the interactions would be sad.
Yeah.
And they would be people who I don't believe should get a message from me or anyone else.
Or anyone.
Unless it's a professional.
Yeah.
The people that would message me are people that I would respond with like a help number and go,
yeah,
no, you need to speak to them.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, God hung up a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing you need is iced tea. That's not going to help, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was just thinking about how funny it would be if we booked we had a podcast guest via Cameo where we're paying like $100 per 60 seconds.
Oh, per answer.
We're doing like a 10 grand podcast.
Yeah.
Just like, we're paying 10 grand to get on like Chum Lee from Pawn Stars.
Just take the whole Patreon.
But it's all, it's all like, it doesn't really make sense. It's like chopped up a little too hard.
Yeah, just spend a month's Patreon on one, one Cameo guest.
Is that what Chum Lee is going for on Cameo?
Chum Lee is going for $65.
$65 to get a shout out from Chum Lee.
And look, I should make a note. This is a public episode. Cameo, for those who don't know, this is a website where you could buy video shout outs from celebrities would be the wrong word. I think
sometimes
that's what
there's a couple celebs on there.
Couple celebs.
You could buy them from people. Ice-T is by far the best option. Cameo.
This is the better way to phrase it. You could buy video shout outs from people who believe or consider themselves to be celebrities.
Right.
Whether or not they are. Ice-T, beyond celebrity. I consider Ice-T to be an A-lister.
How much money do you have to make on Cameo before it gets sad again? You know? Like, how much do you have to, like, when your accountant asks you what Cameo, like, when somebody's doing Ice-T's taxes and his accountant has to sit down with them and goes, what is Cameo and why are you making $90,000 a year from Cameo? Yeah.
This is
I can just imagine. I wish I could do an Ice-T voice, but I can just imagine.
I'm sorting
you don't have to worry about that, boss.
I'm sorting by recommended right now. Andy Dick, obviously.
They've been stepping it up.
$99. I mean, let's go sort by price high to low. Oh, Caitlyn Jenner for a K.
$1,000 for Caitlyn. Wow.
Caitlyn Jenner.
I mean,
for a K.
I don't think the Jenners need more money. So
no. Wesley Snipes, $500. Gary Payton, $500. Chris Harrison, $475.
Why does Caitlyn Jenner need $1,000?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think
that is not even a blip on the radar of their.
It's probably pitched
account
to her as like, this is a great way to interact with your fans, but fans who are willing to pay you $1,000.
Yeah,
you know? If you want to build a fan base, what's really good is to make them pay $1,000 to get FaceTime with you.
It's a luxury item.
Sure.
Yeah. So Drake Bell, $200. Emmanuel Shariki, remember her from Entourage? Classic babe.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Astin, 150.
Okay.
Huh?
Wow.
There's like a couple people we know on here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Coletti was on there for a long time.
He's still on there for $69.
When he first got on there, I thought about buying one, like, under a fake name.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with him.
Yeah.
Like, make him say something really stupid, then just text it back to him.
Dave Foley for a hundo. That feels cheap.
Cameo asked
Riff
me
Raff, 75.
Cameo asked me to come on and be on the app when it was first started. There's like 10 people on there.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, that's deep cringe. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not famous.
Right.
Like, anybody that wants a video shout out, like, I don't think it would be weird to charge them money.
They had messaged me a few times and I'm like, number one, I don't want to be on here and not making that's even sadder.
Yeah.
Like, to have to lower your price. Like, Cameo emails you, they're like, listen, I know that we said let's start at 50, but maybe let's get people in at like 30.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst conversation to have.
Yeah.
And you know they're having it with people. You know 100%. They're calling people up and they're going like, 100 seems a little aggressive.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Can we, like, maybe 60, you know? And
right.
To me, it's like, this is rough.
At that point, you really need to like assess your life.
I'm all about...
It's putting you in a position to fail.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah. I'm all about getting rid of dignity, but for a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, the thing about like...
And also all at once. Like, let me mortgage my whole soul all at once.
Yeah.
Like, Bob Dylan did a fucking Chrysler commercial like one time, big money, and then that's it. That's it. Not like... $30 at a time forever.
Yeah.
I judged it very hard. Evan Breen and Nick Coletti, who I'm friends with, I was judging them, but then we were on set. They were both acted in a thing I directed, and I saw them like between takes just being like, oh fuck, I gotta do some of these. And they're both just like Nick was just pulling it up, being like, so dude, I'm Nick, like, what's up, Brandon, like, you know, hey, happy birthday. And then just like, they're both like, yeah, I made 10 grand off this last month.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. You know what?
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Is there anything they won't say?
Probably, yeah.
Like, is there anything they won't say? Like, can I buy messages?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, people can
turn them down.
People can turn them down.
Okay.
Like, and they were doing that,
Now, the best thing
is... if you paid $25 for, like, slurs.
Yeah.
No, I want that, though. I want to see people that are that desperate where they're like, all right, hello. I don't, you know, I just want to shout out to Ralph and... yeah, it is a European country, you know, now that you brought it up. And I guess it should stay that way.
Right.
Happy birthday, man. And good luck with everything.
I have
just
a
very uncomfortable.
I mean, it's just statistically speaking, their IQs are lower.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like when we're the minority, but you bring up some good points. Anyway, enjoy your birthday. Thanks.
Guys, I have a...
Yeah, how
actually,
bad do you want these
You're $25? Joking about this, but I did a thing a few months ago that... I don't think panned out. I would have to figure out what email address I used. I should check. But I spent... So basically, you pay... You don't have to pay till they do it.
Yeah.
So I put in, like... I probably would... If all these got replies, I would have spent, like, $1,600.
Yeah.
But I was sending scripts to
they
all these goofballs.
Yeah, they don't charge unless...
I was trying to get them to shout out, like, David Duke.
Oh, great!
And like, but I was doing it where I was, like, giving a setup for it.
Yeah, right.
Where it's, like... Like David Duke being like a nick, like,
yeah,
like nickname, like, or maybe editing, you know. I was trying to get them to shout out like Saudi princes, you know.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna shout out like
where it
Kim Jong Un,
sure.
I was trying, but not, I don't even think I did Kim Jong Un. I was trying to do like dictators that I was betting they didn't know who they were,
right?
You know what I'm saying,
right?
But
oh,
I wasn't getting replies. I would like it
sort
would
of
definitely
the,
be
the
worth,
B-listers,
yes, but
yeah.
If they, I should try to do it again now that I know
dictator
how it works a little better.
B-listers, not
I was really trying to get like the Richard Spencer shout out video.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's so funny.
From like a Real Housewife.
Yeah. I just want to thank Richard Spencer for everything he's done. Happy birthday, Richard.
It would be worth doing one of these. Like, I will pull out my credit card and buy one now.
Do people still have his phone number, by the way?
Richard Spencer?
Yeah.
I'm sure the man's changed it.
I think he has like a 703 number that, somebody afterward, like somebody at a show in Texas, like, was like, oh, dude, here's Richard Spencer's number. Like, if you ever want to, like,
that's so funny.
Whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah, if you ever want to prank call him and then have him stay on the phone for an hour because he doesn't care.
Right.
you know what I mean? He's
that's
that much of
thing.
A loser. Like, he doesn't care. Like,
yeah,
he
I
can't
feel like
really...
the the benefits are not outweighed by like what you know, this could happen.
Now you're just friends with him. Now you're just calling Richard Spencer.
Yeah, then Richard Spencer will have my phone number.
Right,
yeah.
And then you will become friends.
This,
no. I mean, that's not.
This website is so wild, though, because, like,
getting cocktails with Richard Spencer as a bit.
Guys, it's a joke.
No, this is, like, elaborate troll.
I'm ironically.
People have done, like, versions of this.
I'm ironically staying in his guest room.
Yeah. I'm like mean girlsing.
I'm gonna date Richard Spencer as a joke.
You'll be like, I'm such a dick to him. Like, you have no idea. I'm such a dick to him. It's
we had Erin Gloria Ryan was on talking about how she like emails Steve Bannon.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But she's
like more of a comedy writer now.
Now she is, but like, back then she's a journalist.
Yeah.
Well, she was emailing him for like jokes. Like, she emails him like a list of jokes, and she's like, "What do you think?"
She's still emailing him. Yeah,
she's like, "Can I get feedback? I mean, you were in the biz, you know."
Yeah.
Is there any way you can just
the best
I like to spitball
people
with Steve
on
Bannon.
This site are
what are you
so
say,
funny?
You know,
some of these people, like we're talking the $10 range, or even more. When you start to get to these ones where you're like, "Who the fuck is this?"
Right.
And then some people that like literally had one video that got 50,000 views on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
And they're listed on here as called The Angry Mom.
Now
they're
like, there's like, comics we know that are on
there's a bunch.
Super cheap. Yeah. And like a lot of times like comics that don't have fans.
Yeah.
Like where it's like
who's doing this? Why?
Actually, who is this for?
Now the Jake Pauls of the world are way too big for this, right? They're not fucking around.
They would get blown out of and I think they
would make so much money.
Like I feel like if you for a Jake Paul cameo would be expensive,
crazy, yeah.
And it would be kids buying it,
right? I think he like lived around the corner from, I think it's Jake. One of them, I think Jake lives like around the corner from the Improv.
Yeah, one of them lives by my friend. I stay usually a lot of times. I stay in West Hollywood.
Yeah,
one of them lives around. She lives around the block
from
the Improv.
Their fans just know their address.
Yeah, they like,
and, like
hang outside their house.
Wait outside.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just a bunch of preteens walking around, and you're like, oh, it is. It is just pedophile cults everywhere in L.A. You're like, oh, this is amazing.
Absolutely.
You just select them. I was
this by
is
the
crazy.
Way, I don't. Jack doesn't know about this, but like, if you want to talk like pedophile cults, Tim's your man.
Yeah, I'm trying to move away from that. And I'm trying to move away from people coming up to me after a show in Austin and being like, hey, do you see the NAMBLA symbol and this pizzeria logo? I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah,
honey, I'm listening.
We did an episode on my show about human trafficking and it just stuck. We had a guy on who wrote a book about it. And it was a documentary on Netflix called Who Took Johnny? And I'd know nothing about.
Yeah.
I was kind of a conspiracy guy, but I was never like, I didn't know anything about pedophile. I was an actor as a little kid and no one fucked me and I got nothing. And maybe that's correlated. But I was also good looking. I was like a cute little kid. But we did this episode.
You're
then,
like kind of offended.
I like that.
I was kind of like, my parents were also kind of just middle class, didn't know how to market me, you know, in the right way. Because I was, if I showed you a photo, you'd be like, whoa. Like, it's
like, how did nobody fuck you, sweetie?
It's absurd.
Whoa, this is a fucking
sweetie,
hot
how were
kid.
You not molested?
Yeah, it's absurd. But yeah, we just did that one episode. And then what happens is you get that group of people that just want to talk about that.
So
like three episodes in, we've had like CIA agents on the show. We've had all kinds of other stuff. And they're like, but how does it relate to the
and
kids being
like,
fucked? You're
and
like,
that's
it
what's
doesn't.
Like bringing people out to the clubs the most for you, right?
I think
is,
a lot.
The
podcast is big. It's over like, the last 6 months, it's gotten a lot bigger and people come out to, I mean,
and podcast fans are by far the biggest freaks.
Yeah.
Of
I mean,
any of them.
They're involved. They're engaged.
Yeah.
They're engaged.
Yeah,
we love our fans.
Yeah. They're engaged in an unhealthy way.
Right.
But some, I mean, listen, they're also great people, but a lot of them know, like, they'll listen to every podcast I do.
Yeah.
And they'll know, they're like, you know, you said this on this, but then you went on Burkcast and you said that.
Yeah.
So what do you, and I'm like,
oh
okay,
sure. Yeah.
You're
the only thing for me is that, like, we just freestyle and, like, a lot of times we're just talking. So I'll bring up a lot of details from my past or, like, I've talked about, like, my parents
that
and
you've
stuff.
Forgotten that
I forget I say it. It's like 10 seconds, but then I'll, like, somebody will reference. It's weird when somebody references it to me, but, like, something about, like, my dad or something. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Wait,
we're
what?
Talking for, yeah. They're listening to you talk for, and if they're a patron, they're listening to you talk for 2+ hours per week. And so it's just like, they're going to know you better than you know yourself at a
certainly.
Certain point.
It's always fun to bump into somebody who you have no idea who they are, and then they just come up and they start talking about your
they
dad
know stuff. Yeah.
With authority.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They have like good insights. You're like, that is, you are right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's worse for me too, because like I already have like, I borderline have a thing where I just have trouble recognizing people at all unless I know them really well.
Right.
So I couldn't even imagine how many people I'm re-meeting all the time.
Yeah.
I try to be nice about it, but like often I have many, many panic mode moments where somebody's like coming up to me like, they've met me before and I know them and I know that I know them, but I have literally no clue who they are.
Oh, well, that's just like, that's just a universal, shitty thing is just like, there are so many people in my life where I just see them around like in comedy a lot where I've seen them too many times to ask their name.
Right.
Where like, oh, it's too late.
Yeah.
Like I can't, I've seen you around for like more than a year now. And
what I just do now, because I don't know who anyone is, and I should, I just walk around and say congrats to people.
Great.
Because here's the reality.
Yeah.
That's a Hollywood power move.
I just go around, I'm like, hey, man, congrats. And they just go, thanks. I have no idea what anyone's done.
Yeah.
But usually people have either just done something that's meaningless or are preparing to do something that's meaningless.
Yeah.
So when you see them, it's just great, like in the back of Good Heroin or everything. I'm just like, hey, congrats.
Unless
congrats.
Because like,
I don't know their name. So their name becomes congrats.
You're just going around telling that to people who just had miscarriages.
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah. They would love it. They'd be like, thanks so much. It wasn't the time. It wasn't really the time. And I'm like, congrats. Your body knew.
Yeah.
Your body knew. Congrats.
I forgot even what we were talking about, but the recognition thing, I guess. Yeah. Like, that's weird. I think. Oh, I was going to. I had something to say about Cameo still. I'm still on Cameo, honestly.
You
I'm still.
Stay on it.
It is funny. Yeah. I mean, like, because you do see a bunch of people on there who. Being on there, it's like you see somebody, you're like, oh, wait, you think you're famous?
Yeah.
Like, that's weird.
Well, I think it's also just people that are kind of desperate. Like, it's not all. Obviously, there's people that are not desperate.
Yeah.
But there's people out there that are just like, hey, if I can make $20 a week on this. Like, there are people in that mindset, you know?
Oh, yeah. I knew what I was going to. I was leading into something with the face thing, you know? I mean, we record this from my house. Like,
sure.
Like, I don't consider myself famous at all. People might know who I am, some people listen to this podcast, you know, so it's surprising. Yeah. I'm putting this out for my own house, so it's weird, like I don't consider that information's leaving it really,
right? But
know?
It is,
and then it comes it back is. To me on the streets, which is bizarre.
Do
you ever feel afraid for your physical safety?
Absolutely. You see that bow, brother? It's tight.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
he's got
look at that.
The bow right there. Jack's got a real weapons arsenal.
That's so funny. It's like what? It's a little bow pouch.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
The quiver.
It's a little mini Rogan studio you
got. Sword. Yeah.
Look at that.
That's ready to go.
Do you have a Glock?
Actually, I do not have a Glock, but I have in my wallet right there. I'm fully registered.
But you're registered.
You're ready
in.
To go.
I need to
you're
go.
You're registered for a Glock.
I think that's smart. That's part of the podcast kit starter pack. You're like,
oh, I'm in a cop.
Get registered.
I'm getting the. I'm getting one.
Yeah.
But it's like, I might have to do.
Holds up a gun. Yeah. This is the third mic.
I want to do a podcast. What should I get? You need to get a gun.
Yeah.
Arm yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's my. That people make earthquake.
It's free
earthquake
speech.
Kits. You know?
Today in the studio, a motherfucking gun.
Right. Hell yeah, bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes.
I was saying that our podcast merch should be like a custom gun. That's like $9,000. But I was actually saying it should be two guns, like dualies, and they're engraved like across, so that you have to have both guns, or it wouldn't even spell out. Yeah, but still.
Oh,
you start
one
doing
gun
like,
says yeah, one says but still.
You start doing NRA ad reads in the middle.
Exactly.
You know, they're like, why are we listening to a bunch of kids anyway?
That was people got real mad at Killer Mike when he did that. He did that one like NRA. Interview.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I didn't know that they were gonna use it for like propaganda. It's like, what? Well, yeah, you talk to the gun propaganda people.
That's like I
of course they're gonna use it to, you know,
I fully support
their advantage.
I support Killer Mike on his like, he it's bold for him to be like a gun dude, you know, which his opinions are super valid. But
I liked the show,
and the NRA is a lobby. Like, it's you're doing a video for a lobby.
I feel like sometimes they care more about guns than people. Sometimes I feel that way.
Oh, the NRA?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, every now and then, I'm like, you know, they have a little bit of an agenda.
Yeah.
Pro-gun.
And,
you know?
Quite frankly, the NRA, he has it from, like, a whole, like he wants to arm black people, you know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And the NRA has a very bad history.
Yeah, they're not into that as much.
Right. In fact, like,
yeah, that would be great if that was their new logo. NRA, arming black people. Let's see how
NRA,
many
the NRA started around, like, they were. They changed their tune as soon as the Black Panthers were getting armed.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to get into, like, we're just talking about, like, gun policy at this point.
Right.
But anyway, I am going to buy a podcast Glock.
Yeah.
It'll be right here in case, just to remind people what's up. You
can
know?
We submit pro Second Amendment statements to Cameo so that they can be read by Dave Foley?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Dave Foley, my Cameo is going to be like, the only customer is the NRA. So do not.
The NRA should start buying cameos. Lobbyists. That's what
they should start
doing.
Yeah.
They should just start buying up,
oh, that's
buying
smart.
Up cameos. Think about it, guys. Yeah. Be smart. Come on, don't you want, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and all these
people?
Wow,
the entire cast of Vanderpump Rules
is like, really pro-gun. They know their stuff.
Hates gun control.
Vanderpump,
God damn.
The Vanderpump is a pump shotgun
after all
this time. You know?
I would love to hear the cast of Vanderpump Rules say the words well-regulated militia.
Yeah.
That would be, how much would that cost?
Yeah, well, my...
What a horrible show and group of restaurants.
I got the license because...
Oh, have you been to both?
I've been to one, and I just...
Which one, sir?
Yeah, and I'm offended by the quality of the food. I love restaurants. I love going out to eat.
Yeah.
But it's...
By the way, sir, for the listeners at home that don't know, sir stands for sexy, unique restaurant.
Right, and it's not. Here's the thing. It's not unique at all.
It's not sexy or unique.
It's not unique.
Yeah.
And it's not... I mean, the people that eat there are sexy, sure, but I was allowed in. How sexy is a restaurant if I'm allowed in and I can order what I want and stay there for as long as I want?
They should have like sort of a, they should have like a bouncer.
There should be some policy be that some stops of- me. And I could bring five Long Island goons, net weight, 1,800 pounds, and we could sit down there and just scream while food shoots out of our mouth about censorship.
Yeah.
How sexy can it be?
It's one of those restaurants that I don't quite have a name for this yet, but I haven't gone there. I saw pictures though. And there's a type of establishment where it's decorated with things that belong in a home.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Where you're seeing the decorations and even it comes down to the hardware. Have you ever been to a place of business, like a salon or something, and you see a home door, like a door is the same that you would have on like a bedroom door.
Right.
It's very subtle, but it's like, oh, that's not an industrial door.
Right.
That's a home door handle. It's very weird.
It also feels to me like if you've ever watched QVC late at night, my mother's a schizophrenic, so I used to grow up with that. And after midnight on QVC, they like take the gloves off. They really start advertising because they knew who their people are.
Yeah.
Yes. And like they'll bring out these crazy jewelry thing, and it feels like those are the people who decorated the restaurant. Like just rich women that are bored.
You're seeing
that are
stuff
like,
from Home Goods.
I have a jewelry line. You know, and it's like, you don't, but okay. And they just buy jewelry and then just sell it. And it's always weirdly Native American and clearly like.
You're linking a lot of subjects right now today too, because that type of store, I call that the almost divorce boutique.
Yeah, well, that's
so this is like, this is a type of store that exists. You'll see it. You see like a boutique that's selling like weird clothes that like your grandma wears, like kind of like sort of like Chico's brand. But it's like, it's like a boutique. And you're like, nobody's ever in there. This is super weird. The rent here has to be $6,000 a month in the strip mall.
Yeah.
It's those get started because like it's some Florida millionaire dude that like cheats on his wife and crashes the Jaguar. And like, that's how they stay married. He's like, all right, you could finally start that story you've always
had. Yeah, why don't you go? And you're a designer, honey. You've got a great eye. Well, the other thing now is a lot of these people are like, you've got a great eye. Like, they're not, they don't even pretend to be designers anymore. They're like, I just have a great eye. And they're like, I just know how to pair things.
Yeah.
And like, I just know. And that's what Lisa Vanderpump is. She's a rich person who has capital. Any of us can have a restaurant. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Any of us can have a restaurant. That's the thing. Like, literally any of us. If you backed me with $100 million, I could have a great rent. It's not hard.
Yeah.
You just hire a good chef.
Yeah.
So in the new season of Vanderpump Rules, Jax and Brittany, they start like a beer cheese business.
Ooh.
Right? And at one point they show this on screen. Jax Googles how to sell food. It's literally
it's
like,
great.
He literally gets on google.com and is like, how to sell food.
Yeah. He's so like, I know how to fuck rich women. I know how to do coke. I know how to get in reality shows.
It's all, oh, I mean, the like, they're responsible for like half the coke consumption.
I'm sure. Yeah. They're just like they're the cartel, like, you know, knows
and
who they are.
The food at that restaurant is like, it's supposed to be this high-end restaurant. Their food is like fried calamari with chili sauce.
Sure.
So I'm like,
well,
and
it's not, the cocktails are bad.
No, this is like, this is another genre of place that I went to one the other night, which... I was posting it all over my Instagram story. I went to go see Frank Stallone.
Okay.
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, fuck yes. I
saw
that.
Less successful brother.
Awesome.
Performing at
this.
Like Herb Albert's restaurant that I didn't know about.
I've always wanted to see Spacey's brother. He's a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Oh my God.
Kevin Spacey's brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, their dad was a neo-Nazi pedophile, so that's what you become. You become very successful, Kevin. Or a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wowzer.
I mean,
But the food, it was hard to describe because the menu is what you're describing.
Yeah.
They have like, I call them, they're all like fusion restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, they have like weird expressionist art on the wall where it's kind of just like colors.
Right.
And like splashes.
There's some version of a tuna tartare. There's a...
I was about to say tuna tartare.
There's
always
truffle oil.
Yes.
There's truffle oil.
You're literally listing what
we
bought.
I know.
Oh,
I mean, bro, like,
order.
Yeah, Tim's a foodie.
Yeah,
you are listing the menu.
I'm really just trying to make enough money in comedy to open my own sexy, unique restaurant.
Yes.
That's all I want. It was the exact type of restaurant that Gordon Ramsay would come in and be so mad off of like things that you quite don't really understand as a viewer. He's like super mad at like the way a potato is cooked.
The furniture is kind of like outdoor furniture. It's like outdoor, indoor. You're like, is this patio furniture? Am I eating on patio furniture?
Yeah.
Like, it's very strange.
I love
it's odd.
All the Gordon Ramsay shows are great, but it's like the food at this place was like, it's expensive and not, it just like,
it's not good.
Not really good.
Yeah.
And it's like it's the fights you see on his shows of like Kitchen Nightmares or whatever, where he's like having that one-on-one back room fight with the chef.
Yeah.
And they're fighting about something you don't really understand. Like how could you cook a leek like this? Like,
right.
You know, like,
and there's always like a
you
dish
don't
or
know
two
how to cook a leek, but
like
you know there's something wrong.
That's Instagrammable. They always have an Instagrammable thing, whether it's a drink or, and that, because that's like, in New York City, there was this restaurant called Black Tap was failing. They brought in like this marketing firm and they're like, just start making milkshakes and putting like cake on top of them. Just make these really tall skyscraper milkshakes.
Yeah.
And that saved Black Tap, and now they have multiple locations. But
that's
what a lot of restaurants are doing now. They're like, we need one Instagrammable dish that'll get people in the door. So, I mean, that's a huge strategy right
now. This food was brutal. I had this, like a burger. I got the burger because I was like,
special
blend.
They're like, it's a special blend.
They can't mess it up, right? Like, I was thinking they couldn't mess up a burger.
Oh, they can't.
Yeah.
You just want to guess what's on the burger? It's their house burger.
I don't know.
I'm bad. You've verbatim named our order.
Pickles from something that they, well, New York, it would be like pickles from somebody's, you know, it would be like a marmalade or an onion jam or something like that, or some type of cheese, aged cheddar-y thing.
You're naming a certain type of burger. This was a different route.
Okay.
So it was like a brie cheese.
By the way,
okay.
anytime I'm on the road and like post what city I'm in, Tim will like
I
come through with the restaurant recs.
I always give him a recommendation.
And he always kills it.
They're always
good.
I need
to get on that list.
Yeah.
They're always
good. But it was like... Yeah,
brie cheese and like pear or something.
It didn't taste
stupid.
Like the dominant taste wasn't even meat. It was like something else, but it was like bland.
Yeah.
The bun was like half toasted, but it was like, I swear the bread was like not meant to be a hamburger bun. It was like tasted different.
Was it where the servers are also kind of, they're not rude, but they're cold?
They were fine.
Yeah, okay.
It was just like,
is it like a brioche bun that's like a little too big?
This one was like just a little too soft. You know those white Asian buns where you get like the bao sandwiches or whatever?
Yeah, like a Hawaiian bun.
I felt like,
that was the
base.
Other, okay.
And it was falling apart. And then like at a certain point, I noticed there's like a second meat on top of the burger, like some kind of like shredded.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not mixing well.
We had the same type of rat. Like in New York for a while, this was about like 3 or 4 years ago, every restaurant was in like a warehouse and it was all like picnic tables and they had seven things. And it was always like sriracha, mac and cheese, pork belly, truffled hand sanitizer. I mean, everything was disgusting. and they would have like some bastardized version of fried chicken, which not like, I'm not like one of these cultural appropriation people.
Yeah.
But there was something weird about a 19-year-old white chick telling you about fried chicken.
Yeah. There's
you know
so many
mean?
Like bastardized like chicken and waffles.
Oh yeah,
honey,
oh, yeah.
Dishes honey, at these, I could folks, hop off right now.
Yeah.
I know we make fun of ourselves for talking about local food.
Yeah,
but oh, I but could pop is, off, yeah. sweetie, on this subject. L.A. has go some off. Fucked up chicken places.
Yeah. Yes.
So, obviously, L.A. has a history of chicken and waffles, yes. but there's, like, hot chicken became popular here recently.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, like, these hype beasts, like, hot chicken places. Like, right down the street from my house is this place called Howlin' Rays. Have you heard of that?
I haven't
there's
been.
There's a three-hour line outside of it every single day.
And it's in Nashville.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Nonstop, and I watch these freaks wait in line for 3 hours, and
yeah,
I like
strange.
I ask myself every day, like, why? What? Who are these people? What are they doing? And also, like, it's chicken, right? So you know, I've had really good fried chicken.
It's chicken,
but it's like you can't take it to a you can't take it to the 3 hour level.
No,
like, it's not possible to do.
No,
and quite frankly, I think that's like this is a working class style of food. I don't think it should be a three-hour wait.
Well, that's what the best restaurants, I think, are authentic to the food they serve. Like, Jitlada is a great restaurant because when you walk in, it's like a dirty carpet. It's a Thai restaurant, but it kind of smelled like you're like, oh, this would be a restaurant in Thailand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and not a wealthy part. Like, this would be a restaurant that somebody's opening, like, it would be like a brothel and this restaurant. It would be like five tables in someone's living room, and they'd also be selling their children, you know?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, this is the authenticity I want, you know? I don't want to eat that Thai food in Sur, in a sexy, unique restaurant, you know?
My favorite trope of the gentrified food places, I've literally have seen this like four times. It'll be like a new, usually like a barbecue place, or it could be like a white people owned taco place or something, you know? Where they're claiming to be authentic.
Yeah.
They have like a little plaque or something. Maybe it's even on the menu where it's like their origin story.
Right.
And it's like, it's always some version of this. It's like two friends or a husband and wife, like they used to work doing blank. They quit their jobs to pursue their obsession of barbecue. And then they always do this thing where they like, this is how they paint it. They say they went on like this tour where they, you know, went, if it was barbecue, they went to like Texas in the South, Kansas City. Yeah. To try like all the best barbecues and like master it and meet the chefs or whatever. But when you're like reading it and reading between the lines, you're like, oh, what you guys did is you went and met all of these like tiny restaurant owners and
stole
their recipes.
Yeah. And I love when those stories like, are really gross. They're like, you know, Tiffany and John met, well, they were both working in the world of high finance, but that didn't really, that didn't suit either of them.
Right.
So one night they went down to Tijuana to get real fucked up.
Yeah.
And they realized that, you know what people like when they're fucked up? Tacos.
Yeah.
So they met an old woman who made this special kind of sauce, killed her, took that recipe, and now they've got 17 chains in and around San Diego.
Yeah,
They photo like, of them with this corpse of a woman. They stole everything.
Yeah, they like secured the Goldman Sachs bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, well, white people love ethnic. White people love
ethnic
food.
We are getting bored at our job inventing a new Agent Orange.
Yeah.
We decided to give you a bunch of cocaine in Tijuana.
Yeah, there's nothing better than spicy food and not living near the people that make it. So that's what our chain is about.
Once they once they got rich, they were like, we're going ethnic mode.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of, like, you know, Clara Jeffries? Is that her name? Yeah.
Who's that?
She's like an editor at Mother Jones or something.
Yeah.
She was like, she was popping off on Twitter about like Tex-Mex and doing this weird routine where like,
seems like a great comedy fan.
No,
she's like, I'd like to have as many editors from Mother Jones as possible.
Yeah. Did she do a thread about Tex-Mex?
She was doing a thread about Tex-Mex and like
Twitter
talking about like authenticity and everybody was responding to her like, cause I mean, Tex-Mex is like, she was like talking about it as like a white people thing. She was doing like the damn white people be tripping though. Like, you know, like, and she was literally using like GIFs of black people in the replies talking about white people,
which
is the whitest woman I've ever seen in my life.
That's a smart way to handle it.
Yeah. But that's another type of like,
and I'm not like, again, I don't think anybody should ever be prevented from opening or anything. Like Portland, there's these white people making tacos and Portland like kicked them out. I think that's all absurd. But these are just these are funny things to make fun of. Like,
they
are,
and like,
funny and ridiculous things, you know?
And like Tex-Mex, like those border towns in Texas, like
Yeah.
It's a type of food. It's white people and Mexican people. Like,
it's the same thing when I see a really hot girl on Instagram with like a gooey cheeseburger. I'm like, you don't eat this.
Yeah.
And now you're just selling your the sex appeal of like you and here's the food porn. But it's like, you're not eating that. You're not eating this, you know?
Right.
I know, because I go to the places where they sell those things. You're never there.
Yeah. Oh, that's big boy
I've
stolen
never
valor.
Into you.
Yeah.
That's big boy season stolen valor if you're eating that with a burger. No. Yeah. It's like you're not eating that whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know where these hot chicks are at these all night Philly cheesesteak restaurants, but I don't see I see a lot of women that I like, formidable, severe women.
Severe women.
You know what I mean? Serious ladies.
Uh-huh.
But
funniest way to describe somebody severe.
That's a joke in my act. I say I need a severe woman.
Oh my God.
I won't steal it.
Yeah,
you can have it. Please take it. Do something with it.
Yeah, I'll open up a I'll do the restaurant thing.
Do it.
I went around and met all the comedians and learned the craft.
Yeah.
You know, I learned I immersed myself for 2 years around the best local comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
You hung out in the satellite green room for a while and now you're finally ready to start to venture into stand up comedy.
Yeah, my entrepreneurship.
Yeah. And then you're just going up like, guys, I look like what a Japanese businessman jerks off to.
Jack realized he had a real taste for Tinder jokes and wanted to appreciate them. So he took a 2-year tour around Echo Park, and now he's ready to go national with everything he's learned.
Yeah, I'm just doing like everybody else's jokes.
You're doing like,
you know,
very
when a guy's going down on you and he's playing with your pussy and doesn't really know what like.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh. But anyway. The food at the restaurant was bad, was the moral of that story.
Yeah. the Frank Stallone show?
Yeah, it was definitely Herb Albert's.
How was the show?
Honestly, fine. Like,
okay.
We went in there.
Yeah.
Ready to see some weird shit.
Yeah.
Because it's Frank Stallone. I used to follow his Instagram a lot. He was always just dropping gems. Like, he would do, like, a post of, like, his wallet that's just, like, a rubber banded wad of bills.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it'd be like, really Italians, no matter how much success you get. But like, you know, talking about how successful he is and he still carries around the rubber band, but it's just $36.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's less than an hour of parking in whatever city he's in.
Yeah.
It's but it was like, I mean, he put on a good show.
Yeah.
It's like there wasn't really much to laugh at. We met him. He's a super nice guy.
I saw Creed 2 last night because my friend said to me, she's like, my husband is going out with his girlfriend. This is LA. She goes, my husband's going out. This is her husband. She goes,
my husband's
going out with his girlfriend tonight for Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
She's in New York with her boyfriend. And she goes, could you babysit our son, Leo, tonight for Valentine's Day? He's like this 12-year-old kid, and he wanted to watch Creed 2. And she's like, I'll give you a few $100, take him out for sushi. So I took him out for sushi. Now, it's me and a 12-year-old boy in a sushi restaurant with all couples on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
No one in LA thinks that's weird.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God, a waitress comes up and she goes, are you doing the Valentine's Day? I mean, I'm
whoa.
I'm like, no, we're not. No. I'm babysitting.
Does he want anything to drink?
Yeah.
Cocktail?
She's like, you know. So it was just so funny. I was like, this is...
Do you want me to take you to the champagne room?
Yeah, they're like, this is great. You know, you guys doing the Valentine's Day dinner? I'm like, no.
Oh, my God.
This is a child. We're eating sushi, and then he's going to watch Creed 2 and lie to me that he doesn't have fucking homework. But this is, you know, L.A., baby.
Yeah.
You know?
I was on, like, DoorDash last. I was on DoorDash on Valentine's Day. Just, you know, I went, like, Guylentine's mode. Hung out with my boy. And I was on DoorDash, and I saw that like Chuck E. Cheese delivers, which is insane. Like,
it's so
crazy, but it was like Chuck E. Cheese free delivery. And I was like thinking about Bryan Singer, just like going through like, damn, can I order off menu?
It's just a very long, you know, that like, box where it's like, do you want any alterations?
The special instructions, like drive a kid, drive a kid over here.
Just pack his, do you know just anyone like, who wants to be an actor and maybe is promising? You know?
Scoop up some up and comers.
Yeah. What are you looking for? Mentorship. That's what I'm
no
trying
older
to.
Than yeah. 14.
Scoop
That's
up,
amazing,
yeah.
Man.
Scoop up some up and coming actors and hit the salad bar, quick. he's still hungry.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Vinaigrette.
He's
you know.
Starving.
Oh, he's real
oh, he's a hungry.
Singer is a starving man.
Yeah.
Let me.
His career is great.
Let me ask you this as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Okay. We got two planes in the sky. You got Singer's jet.
Yeah.
You got Epstein's jet.
Oh.
You're on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a ground-to-air missile. You have one in the chamber. Which plane you going for?
Epstein's more powerful.
Can I just blow up a random Southwest flight? Because I hate Southwest.
Oh, man.
I really don't like, you know?
Okay, yeah. Wait. So instead of taking out the child molesters, could I just do terrorism instead?
I would do Epstein because, I mean, I'm like Bryan Singer. I mean, like, I like The Usual Suspects, you know? Like, yeah. Epstein
has more powerful people on that jet.
Epstein's got more powerful people on the jet.
Yeah. 100%. What's crazy is that Bryan Singer was the usual suspect the whole time.
I know.
Yeah.
He was. Well, all these guys, like, when you look back at their movies and stuff, you're like, oh, okay. Like, it's like you'll probably see a few things. You're like, okay. And these guys were above the law forever and probably
what's
still
crazy
are.
Is that, like, him and Spacey walking, you know, they're dapping each other up.
Dude, yeah. Those two, the things that those two.
How do you think they met?
Probably would have done is crazy.
The kind of the Jordan and Pippen of pedophilia.
Oh, yeah. Just fucking.
Yeah.
Just killing it just every night on the court.
Throwing layups.
Yeah. Giving the community something to believe in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very inspirational to the community.
Oh, sure. If you're a poor pedophile, and I imagine they're out there.
Yeah.
If you are a pedophile and you're frying Nashville hot chicken, you are like, whoa, Spacey and fucking Singer are, they're your gods. I mean, they're like, they're your UCB, Amy Poehler.
Yeah that's
story.
Drake and Future.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
You're like, oh, wow. So I get a mansion and I have a pool. Yeah. And I just fill pools with...
They come to me.
Oh, I don't kidnap them. They come in willingly.
Yeah.
And if they say anything, we just sue them. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it really is crazy.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. So, I mean, I'm piped up for this now. Let's circle back. What juice did you have with... what's your pedophile connection?
Well, I mean... So
tell us about the pedophiles.
Yeah, well, no, I mean the show that we covered on my on the podcast was that there was a credit union in Omaha, Nebraska, that was being run by this guy named Lawrence E. King, who was a rising star in the Republican Party. He sang the national anthem at the 1984 Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
He had taken photos with Maureen Reagan and all that stuff. He was running. He had been convicted of embezzlement. He had embezzled like $40 million from this credit union, which was like a failing Nebraska credit union. So a lot of when people started to look into that, a lot of like state senators and people around Nebraska were like, the real story is actually that he was making all of this money because he was running an interstate pedophile network and pandering children to some of the wealthiest people in Washington, D.C., places like New York, I'm sure out here. And there was this guy that wrote like a 7-year book. He went and investigated this for 7 years and it was like... Yeah. And it's not a conspiracy like Pizzagate, which is fake. Pizzagate's not real. There are no victims. There's nothing. I mean, it's literally just here's a weird Instagram post, and they are weird. But I mean, and listen, if there is validity to it, it is. I'm like one of those guys where it's like, you got to show me. This guy has flight manifests in his book that show this guy Lawrence E. King flying back and forth to D.C. from Nebraska with 7 or 8 unidentified minors. So if you could tell me why that's fucking happening, you know, and that sometimes he'd leave with like less than he came with, where he's selling the kids.
Yeah,
and a lot of that stuff was for blackmail. It was for like, you know, if you catch a congressman or a senator, if you like the house in Washington D.C. where a lot of these orgies and parties would happen. Was outfitted for blackmail with cameras and all kinds of. So if you catch a congressman or a senator in that compromised position, you own them forever. So whether it's the CIA or whether it's, you know, huge corporate interests, who's ever, you know, and I'm sure it's a lot of both. There's a ton of overlap there, but who's ever getting that info, you now own somebody forever. A lot of these people are owned. I mean, there's discussions like, is Trump being blackmailed? Is Lindsey Graham being blackmailed? Like, all, you know, a lot of these people come in office and they have all these ideas, and then a lot of them reverse themselves almost immediately. And you're like, well, and then things come out about them later on. And it's like, so that was a real, and there was this guy, Craig Spence, and he was like this guy that was peddling. He was like the dude that was peddling these kids. So it was really sick shit. And you're like, oh, but you're also like, oh, it's been going on forever. It's been going on since like biblical times.
You know, I started stand up in D.C.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I performed. You know, I was a teenager when I started. And
you're a teenager now. You know, like you're.
I started when I was like 17, and let me just say, I performed at a lot of house shows.
Yeah.
In D.C.
performs at a lot of... There's a weird energy. There's a dark energy to D.C., some of the wealthier
areas. No, I'm from, like, maybe... Is L.A. the... I'm from D.C., live in L.A., so I'm, like, from, like, the biggest pedophile city.
Sure.
Came to the, like, second biggest pedophile city.
And I don't know why rich people...
What's the Dan Nanan version of that joke, then, for you?
Oh,
yeah. Born in D.C.
I was born in D.C., and I live in L.A., so I get molested at...
Yeah.
So, wait, where is it instead of... At fucking...
So let's workshop it, I get my sushi at 7-Eleven or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he says I'm half Indian and I'm half. What does he say? I'm half Indian and I'm half Japanese, so I get my sushi at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So what? Bad. He's bad at comedy. Whatever. But what? So this. What's this angle? What are you thinking?
Maybe it's just an anti-comedy joke. Be like, so I grew up in D.C. Now I'm here in L.A., so I've been molested a lot.
Maybe
that's the joke.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, honey. Our podcast, I guess in an official capacity, are Pizzagate truthers.
Yeah.
But it is a joke.
Well,
I'd say it's a joke. Like,
leftist
Pizzagate. Leftists
who support Pizzagate.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness,
is number one. Comet Pizza is not good. The food's not good.
I
don't think there was a child pedophile ring.
No,
Comet
and
Pizza.
Then also the people that you end up talking, it's the same like QAnon retards.
Well, there's no basement, right?
Yeah,
no,
it's
there's
like,
no
guys,
basement in the Alamo.
Let's say they are fucking kids. They isn't there a better way to do it than tunnels?
Under
a pizzeria.
Yeah,
like that's like a retarded like that's like. If I was a pedophile, that's what I would have. Like,
yeah,
I got
like,
a fried chicken
I think
restaurant
that, like,
with tunnels.
I do think politicians are, we talked about this. We've talked about this like 2 weeks in a row. But like when Sarah and Sandy were on, we were talking about how like that's kind of the one, you know, nonpartisan, bipartisan thing.
Yeah, they all fucking
kids.
Listen, a lot of them fucking, and that's the problem. Pizza
they're just not doing
like,
it
political.
At Comet.
No, they're not doing it at Comet Pizza. And like, it's also like it's one of those better pizza in D.C. And it's one of those situations where nobody's done any homework. So people are just ready to go on Reddit and 4chan and just start. But nobody's read a book. Nobody knows anything. Nobody has a fucking idea.
Everybody loves popping off.
People just love, you know, throwing it out there. Now, like, you're like, oh, guys like Owen Benjamin, who's this guy. He's like calling everyone a pedophile.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's a pedophile. You made
Owen Benjamin fucking lost his goddamn mind.
Yeah,
that's so on the Chapo FYM Twitch, which I'd say I'm an unofficial team member of the Chapo Fortnite team.
Yeah,
our insult is pedophiles. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anybody
who's
playing video games after a certain time is a pedophile. So if we kill them in game, we're helping keep them off the streets and we're distracting them.
Y'all, the real pedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, the newest is registered sex offender. This is a new call out for enemies.
Oh,
but our
I'm
good friend Eminem Obama is like a main proponent. He says that like pedophile is the closest to the N word that you could call a white guy. Like in terms of invoking rage.
Yeah.
Like if you call a white dude a pedophile, because you can't really call a white dude anything that would make him mad.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing. Like you can't.
Right.
White guys don't get mad at cracker and stuff
there's
like
none,
that.
Yeah, none of
pedophile.
It
is like it's a perfect insult.
Yeah.
But the problem with the insult is that you could get sued for it. Like Elon Musk
it
is currently getting
slander
for calling somebody because it's an actual accusation.
Yeah, the people that people that rescued the Chilean.
Yeah, I mean that's why.
Yeah.
Like you literally.
And he was
I would love to implement the word pedophile more as an insult.
The scary thing is, it's like you have all these successful rich people that are pedophiles, and it's like, is this the only thing that's ever been pushing civilization forward? Like,
pedophilia.
Is this the only?
Yeah.
Is this literally it? Is this the only reason
people are
anyone
just
does anything?
Power, yeah.
Jesus, you know.
That's literally the reason we left hunting and gathering.
Yeah, I'm like, this is fucking crazy. But it's like, it's sad. It's sad for the kids that are, you know, abused. It's fucking.
It's bad. And
horrible.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's all, you know, most abusers were abused.
Yeah, it's like a very,
like surviving R. Kelly, he was molested a ton when he was a kid.
Yeah. I love that. Did you see that thing where Erykah Badu was like, we got to love R. Kelly? And the whole crowd's like, what?
Yeah.
It was amazing. She's like, we got to love him. And they're like, wait, whoa.
Wait, huh?
Pause. There's nothing better than in real time when someone decides to go out, like to take a stand like that.
And there's nobody. Yeah, they just they're acting on their own accord, and there's nobody.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody in the room to like stop it.
Yeah.
The words have already come out of her mouth.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Yeah.
That one hurts.
We got to love them.
That's crazy, though. I need to listen to that episode.
It's a great, it's a good episode, and it's, you know, opens up that door to this dark reality, but it's like not, you know, you think about the Catholic Church, you think about Penn State, it's like, this is not really, sadly, it's not like a, like a conspiracy, or it's not like a thing that like only goes on with uber wealthy politicians. It's like, in any power structure, you have predators, whether they're preying on women or preying on children, and they have the ability to kind of manipulate.
Or other men.
Yeah, or other men, 100%. Yeah. And like, so you just have that happen, and it's like, it's fucking very, very sad. And hopefully we're getting into a world now where that's harder to do. With kids, sadly for kids, there's no kids Me Too.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that's the tragedy.
Me Too for kids.
They need a Me Too for kids.
I mean,
they really
it would just
do.
Be it would just be me like limited to.
They need like a kids bop.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids bop Me Too.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Me Too. Me Too for kids with a Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, but like yeah, we joke, but like
fucking
it is
blue raspberry
like
Me Too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fucked. I mean,
it's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now my life not getting fucked and starting comedy at 25, like that ain't great either. So,
yeah.
There's no winners.
There's not
know?
A lot of good.
If you're a child and you're an actor and you don't become immediately successful, nothing good's coming. So whether it's rape or what you're in or, you know, whatever it is, it's not good.
Once again, I am a proponent of just making child acting illegal.
I agree. I think you can do it. You can play the kid. We don't need kids. Like everyone at Beverly Hills in 90210 was like in their mid-40s. So.
Right.
Let's do that. I'm for that.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, we don't need children acting.
Or what about the director has to be a kid? An all kid set.
Yeah.
Great.
Just
that's
child
an
labor laws.
Well, you know they're bringing back All That.
Oh, wow.
The children's sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon.
Wow.
Hopefully no Dan Schneider.
Absolutely not.
But I knew like. Some comic I know was like, yeah, I'm going to be in L.A. for the next couple months writing for All That. And I was like, shouldn't they let kids write it? Fucking write sketch show?
Because then all the sketches would just be like, poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would work, though.
It would work. Kids would love it.
Just like a stand-up,
four kids by
stand-up comic on stage just being like, barf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poopy pee.
I had a general meeting at Nickelodeon once, and it was just these fat guys eating donuts, and it's like this really creepy world.
Oh,
yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is exactly what Alex Jones thinks it
is. Why were you at a meeting for Nickelodeon?
Because they just sent me on. And by the way, they were confused. Like when I walked in, they're like, you're another pedophile executive, right? I'm like, oh, no. I'm here to just, because it was voice stuff.
Oh, you're here for a pickup?
Yeah. They were like, it was like voice stuff. And they said to me, they're like, if we can, I swear to God, they go, this is literally what they said. They go, if we have a thing coming out with a rat, if we cannot afford to get Danny DeVito to play the voice of the rat, we like you for the voice of the rat. So I was thrilled. I mean, I called my agent.
Amazing.
I'm like, I mean, maybe DeVito's going to pass, you know?
Have you done voiceover stuff before?
Not a ton, but I don't.
It's so fun.
I should, and I don't submit. Like, I get, like, sometimes, like, they'll send me a thing, and they'll be like, 15-year-old Latino. And I'm like, okay, I know what I said. I'm not. There is a 15-year-old Latino who can do this job. Like, my agent will be like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you have a kind of ambiguous voice. I'm like, it's not that ambiguous.
Yeah.
And it's not a teenage millennial Hispanic kid, you know?
Right.
So,
hey,
you
bro, know. I'm on Nickelodeon now, dude.
Yeah, right. It's like, but like, I would like to, you know, I just got to find the right.
It's really
role.
Fun.
So,
I mean, it's
pivoting back to the kids.
Yeah.
Folks, I do want to pop off.
Yeah.
Did you. Either of you guys watched the documentary on Netflix, Abducted in Plain Sight?
Everyone's talking about it.
I haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, not really spoilers, because this is not a good true crime documentary.
Right.
No?
This is not what you want out of it. Usually, true crime documentaries go in like one of two ways.
Yeah.
It's like they let it unfold, and then it gets solved in the end, and it's like, oh, wow, crazy story. Or it's like, this happened and it's still unsolved. Who maybe did this?
Yeah.
You know, this is not that. This is not that.
Right,
let me tell you my experience of watching this. I have insomnia. That's an important preface.
Yes.
Okay.
I fall asleep. My girlfriend falls asleep at 10 p.m. I'm usually getting to bed like 3 a.m. minimum.
Jeez.
Like I'm up. So And it involves quietly watching things in bed often when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this shit, and it's like, this is the night I kept waking her up, because there are so many parts in this where I was like shooting out of bed, uncontrollably, like pacing around the room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
That's
like,
what everyone says.
So, dude. All right. So this is the plot of this movie, right?
Yeah.
So it's this family of four or five, whatever. Yeah. They're Mormons. It's in the 70s. And they befriend this family down the street with, like, kind of similar. They start spending tons of time together.
Yeah.
You find out more and more later in the doc that, like, the dad from the other family is, like, super interested in their daughter, who's, like, 12 or something.
Yeah,
right?
That's not good.
Like, way... And they start letting things slip. You're already realizing the family's dumb people.
Yeah.
They're, like, letting you know, like, we did let him spend the night in her bed. Like, you're just like,
whoa,
what
wait,
the
wait
fuck?
Minute.
Like, so
wow.
That's not even the bad stuff. So they're like enabling all of this. He eventually kidnaps her. They're like, he wants to take her on vacation or something.
Oh,
so
no.
He like literally kidnaps her, and she's gone for a long time.
Yeah.
The dude gets back. This is the most wild part. The dad's talking about hanging out.
Yes.
Yeah, pause. Yeah.
Fuck.
The dad's talking about hanging out with the molester dad, and he already knows this guy's bad news.
Yeah,
they're hanging out, and the guy is like, they go park in this like park district area.
Yeah.
And the guy's like complaining that he has like a hard on, and he's like, I need to be relieved. It's really bad. Like, and he asks his like friend, like, will you jerk me off?
Yeah.
And the dad is like, I didn't know what to do. So I did it.
Wow. Yeah.
Like jerks him off in this park.
Yeah.
So fucking
the guy who's like molesting
abducted.
His kid.
Yeah.
And then
so fucking
like it's the
hot.
Literally the wildest part. Cause like
such a hot moment.
They're setting it. They're really setting is. It up like, you know, like, cause this guy's already doing perverted stuff. Uh-huh.
Right?
Right. So like when he puts him, when he drives him to the park and like shows him his boner, I thought that was gonna be the turning point of where he'd be like, that's when I realized this guy, something might be up with him.
No.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, what else could I have done? You know?
Right.
So then, That's why I jumped up and screamed, right? Because, like, you're just, like, wanting these parents to do something about this predator.
Yeah.
And then...
But also wanting them to
so
fuck.
He kidnaps so the daughter and everything. And then after that, the wife starts having sex with him.
Yeah, because he's the man.
Yeah.
Like, literally, the whole family's hooking up with this dude.
Yeah.
And he keeps kidnapping her daughter. Then he wants her to... That he like
wait a minute. What do you mean he keeps kidnapping the?
No,
dogs?
yes. So he kidnaps her.
Hold on.
So he kidnaps her.
Yeah.
They finally get arrested in Mexico and caught, and then the dad, the guy, the predator uses that park hand job. I think I'm kind of might be remembering this wrong, but he kind of like blackmails the family. He's like, hey, you remember that hand job you gave me? Like, just drop the charge. Like, don't press charges against me. Say that I was on vacation with her, and they did. They like went along with it.
Wow.
And then so like he stepped, then he came back and he's like made up this like whole lie. He's like, I went to a therapy to get help and the therapist is great. Like part of what I need to do.
She said I'm fixed.
No. Yeah. He's like, part of my therapy is that I need to sleep in the same bed as your daughter. And they're like, well, a doctor said it. Okay. Go on ahead.
This is after
post-kidnapping.
Post-kidnapping.
Wow.
Yes.
Part of my therapy. By the way, what doctor is that?
I know, right?
You know, like that's a great doc, you know?
His name is Dr. Medical. And he's real.
Yeah.
Like,
so part of his therapy is sleeping next to your daughter.
He's cured of being a pedophile. Part of the therapy is he has to molest kids.
Yeah. That's part of what he needs to do.
Yeah.
It is like a tragic doc, and it gets much worse, and it's pretty bad. They do, like, he wants the girl to come live in Wyoming with him when she's, like, 16 or something. And,
right.
Like, the parents are like, hell no. And then she, like, begs enough. And they're like, oh, okay. The guy calls him and he's like, look, she's going to probably run away here anyway. And they're like,
oh,
I guess
no.
You're right.
Yeah.
And they,
well,
like, send her there for the summer.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's one of those family holidays, though, when they all get together. They're like, well, we know each other. You know what I mean? It's like, we're acquainted. You know?
I mean, family friend.
Yeah.
I really still didn't spoil the doc.
Yeah. Who made
there's a
the
lot
doc?
More.
Was it from a point?
No, well, because it ends where, like, the family's doing good, weirdly. And the daughter became, like, a successful writer. She, like, writes about it and speaks about it and, like, like, I still don't think that the whole family realizes the length of how absurd it is, you know?
So they're all still cool.
They did all get
Nobody's
manipulated by the dude. Yeah.
She's a great writer.
Yeah.
What's the downside, Jack?
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? I mean, she's a great writer. This guy's not in jail. Everyone's happy. I'm confused, you know?
Yeah, oh, so you could watch that doc if you want. I mean, it's like, I didn't spoil it. It's still, there's still some meat on the bone for sure. I left out a giant part that's pretty crazy.
It'll be a part of my favorite genre of documentary where people who've had horrible childhoods are more successful than I am. So that's a big genre of my Netflix.
That's like a recommended tab.
Oh, yeah. It's like these people have been horribly tortured and have turned out better.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's another thing, too, with like true crime, which... I'm a crime drama head.
Yeah.
I'm an SVU head. I'm literally have watched like every single good police procedural show, detective show. I love it. And I love true crime stuff too, but there's a new, like the podcast world has cracked into like this new like true crime section with like that show My Favorite Murder.
Oh yeah.
And all
huge.
That stuff. Where it's like
white women love a murder.
That's true. But then like okay, so they made a TV show version of Dirty John,
right.
Which Dirty John, if you're not familiar, is an amazing podcast, by the way. But it's about a mom who is manipulated by this insane con man who nearly murdered them. And I'm not going to spoil the podcast, but like, luckily her daughters, who were pretty much adults, are like in their early 20s, I think, were like super looking out for her and stuck their neck out for her and like literally saved her from this dude. You know, like they're the heroes in this.
Yeah,
because their mom was totally just getting conned by this guy and her kid saved her. But Bravo, it was like Bravo or one of those networks made it into a TV show and like Real Housewives did up. And like in the trailer, I watched like part of an episode, but like these girls are heroes.
Right.
And they're also violent crime survivors.
Right.
And victims.
Yeah.
And like the Bravo version, like they're taking creative liberties that just don't seem right.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're... Their characters in the show are like push up bra, fake boobs, and just like, mom, you're such a cunt. You should have bought me an iPhone, you stupid bitch.
And where did this like, where did this happen?
This happened in Orange County in real life.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's like, this is like these people aren't old. Like the girls are probably 30s now, like 31 maybe. This is like
the show
recent.
Starts, you're like, Newport Beach is my city.
It's yeah. Like, they're whoa. Like, they're like taking creative liberties to like make these into.
They want
to
make them into like Emma Watson and Bling Ring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like, it's just fucked because like, these are, you know, these aren't people who are on a podcast. They're victims of crime.
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's also the weird world of like these true crime heads because these podcasts have like crazy followings or whatever.
Yeah.
But their brains warp a little bit where they like an episode a lot, but then it translates into them like, you see people where it's like, oh, I stan Dylan Roof. Like, oh, I'm going to marry Dylan Klebold. Like, it's just like a weird like.
Oh, wow. So something like, happens with a
crime
start.
Fandom or
they
like.
Start, whoa.
Or like.
Dylan Roof's
just,
not
I mean,
even
it's just
hot.
Like, no, I mean,
no,
I'm
he's
just like.
He's like malnourished.
I just think it's like the way people talk about like. Crime stories is a little jarring.
The way that, you know, those girls that like believed in Slender Man and like killed some girl at their school. There's like some documentary about it, and like people send them fan art all the time.
Yeah,
there's something weird to me about a whole, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just weird where an entire because they do, you know, My Favorite Murder Live. You have an entire theater of people getting together. To have a good time based on a vicious murder.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
That's
like it's an interesting.
Yeah. Like, that's my thing with My Favorite Murder or whatever is like, dude, imagine your mom was killed by a serial killer.
Yeah.
And then you're like seeing clips pop up on your Twitter where it's like these two women on stage and they're like riffing on like the guy who killed your mom.
Yeah.
Be like, well, he's kind of sexy though, if you think about it. Like, just
and
like,
then they like promote their dates.
Yeah, that guy
like, I'll be the Irvine Improv.
It's like,
come on down.
It's a little
don't get
weird.
Murdered.
I don't know the. Yeah, their catchphrase is like, don't get murdered.
Yeah, don't get murdered.
Is
come
that
on
the,
down.
The catchphrase of
like,
the
try not to get murdered.
Try not to get murdered on your way to buying two drinks to hear me. Please.
It's like one thing. Yeah, it's one thing if it's like a major news story where like Charles Manson is like so big that it's. Just at this point, just a pop culture item.
Sure.
But it's different when it's like a local murder, like a, like a simple local murder where it's like just regular people who aren't, the press is over. Like they're no longer in articles about it. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, podcast fans are like trying to add them on Facebook or
we
something.
We did this thing
like
a few weeks ago called the Smiley Face Killers, which is there's these weird cases of like athletic, good-looking, popular college-age white kids,
yes,
and they all disappear from bars and they all end up in rivers. So, and it is kind of weird. And I was at the Green Room of Comedy on State in Madison, and I was trying to retire from conspiracy theories, but the host of the show was like, hey, you got to talk to my friend. And this kid, I got on the phone with him. He's like, listen, the reality is I went out to this bar. I had two drinks. This girl I'd never met. She was there. She had five of her friends there. He goes, I black out. I don't remember what happens. And he goes, I wake up and I'm on a dam in the middle of the Wisconsin River. Which
God.
So it's crazy. So he calls in and goes through the whole thing, and it's like a crazy episode. But Oxygen does a show on this, and it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
it's absurd. Like, the Oxygen show is like these detectives from New York City who like came up with the theory, but they're like, there's a part of the show where they go eat at this diner and the guy's like, yeah, it's a real greasy spoon. That's why they get the food good. It's like, hey, you get the fried eggs with bacon. And it's like, what the fuck about the murder here? Like, everything doesn't have to be parts unknown.
Yeah.
That was what I thought was weird about Bourdain's show. Like, he would go to Turkey and there's like, and the family would be like, you know, we haven't really seen our daughter. You know, it's like, it's been a few days. She's in the city. We're in the country. It's kind of political instability. And Bourdain would then start talking about hummus. And I'm like, what the fuck is going? Like, that's the weirdness about taking anything and putting it in that reality TV format.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like, well, we just got to catch people's interest every minute. Mm-hmm. Ooh, they're going to a nice diner. Ooh, it's an old, not too many diners like that left. And it's like, aren't people getting thrown in a river? Isn't that the concern?
Yeah, that's crazy.
But people,
and the smiley face murders aren't even solved, right?
I mean, they're not solved, whether it is
and
a
the
thing
smiley
or
face,
it isn't.
Basically,
who knows?
If I'm correct, the smiley face thing is that they found smiley
graffiti
face graffiti near,
they find,
is questionable because like, that's like the most common thing somebody would draw.
To me, it's not even that the smiley face graffiti does not do it for me. What's interesting to me is that all these people end up in a river in the middle of January. I grew up in a town in Long Island that was on sea level, and we were no one fell in the water, and it was not for lack of drinking or drug use. I'm not saying that all of these are suspicious, but a lot of them are weird, where it's like,
no, I've done my
they
research
are weird.
On this. It's pretty
they get
crazy.
Separated from their friends, they end up in a river a few miles away. So, I mean, I'm always careful when I go into that world because I always try to like try to think logically and not just try to jump onto whatever, but it is weird. But of course the Oxygen show does nothing but it's just sad to watch these parents reliving their kids' deaths with no, like, there's no arrests being made. Like, there's no, you know, so it, you know, but
well, so
if you like true crime,
let me open up another can of worms too. Honestly, we could go off.
I have given up dairy and my skin is better. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this topic right here. Like, all we could, you know, Brandon could, like, walk out of the room and come back and find us 3 hours later.
Let's cook.
Yeah, I mean, something I've been fascinated with was that there was a giant, giant spike in serial killings in the 60s and 70s, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually it just stopped. And now we're seeing another spike with like mass shootings. And we don't really hear about serial killers anymore. And that's not like a genius point I'm making, but it's something worth thinking about. I always think about it a bit, you know? And there's a lot of factors because the serial killer craze just kind of ended. And quite frankly, like a lot of it is that we've gotten some new investigative techniques to profiling them.
It's much harder now.
Blah, blah, blah. Also, a lot of these people were copycats, and like
the two books that are really interesting on the subject you're talking about are both written by the same guy, and this guy has said a lot of questionable things I don't agree with.
Sure,
but like, I mean, not like kill the Jews, but he has said certain things. Like, I don't believe that 9/11 is an inside job. I think there's layers of complexity to it, but like, he has said some things I wouldn't go as far as to endorse. But there's a book called Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, about Laurel Canyon and about a lot of the culture that was surrounding Laurel Canyon, which, as you remember, was kind of the precursor to the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of bands like the Byrds and the Doors and Frank Zappa and all those guys came out of Laurel Canyon. And that's where the Manson murders took place.
Yeah. Well, Manson was hanging at like Dennis Wilson's house.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah. So there was a lot of this weird like overlap of like extreme drug use, cult activity, people that are kind of
I might order that book right now. Yeah.
With Satanism. And then there was also the Rand Corporation and this big, like, U.S., you know, a lot of intelligence stuff going on, too. So McGowan's point is that it was good that the CIA was able to test drugs on all these hippies because it discredited a legitimate anti-war movement. And again, this is real conspiracy stuff, but it's fun. And so he said that a lot of the counterculture in the 60s was like, you know, being fed, you know, indirectly by people that had, you know, a, they
an
basically,
agenda.
And it, well, an agenda, and it benefited them to have the anti-war movement be, you know, these people in fields on drugs naked instead of like rational people, like, why the fuck are
right.
we, you know? And then his other book is called Programmed to Kill. Programmed to Kill's weird, where he thinks that a lot of serial killers were actually members of nefarious groups, cults, whatever, and then one person kind of takes the fall for an activity that many people were involved in, and he uses David Berkowitz's Son of Sam as an indication that he was part of, like, a cult of people that did really heinous things, horrible things, and that David Berkowitz took the fall for it. I haven't come to any conclusions on any of that, but it's very interesting. Like, if you read about a lot of conspiracy, you know, because a lot of these guys, a lot of these serial killers, some of them have been in the military, some of them were discharged from the military. It's not impossible to think that some of them could have been in some type of program that you know, whether it was mind control or something like that, it didn't necessarily turn out the right way. You know we have these programs. MK Ultra was a real thing. I mean, so I haven't come to any conclusion on that, but it's very interesting when you look at, you know, why there aren't as many, why there were so many serial killers in that specific period of time.
What's funny is I was kind of setting that up to talk about something funny again, but now we're in that. So his theory, theory sound pretty kooky. That might be interesting to read.
Here's the thing.
I don't know if that I fall into that.
It's kooky, but what I think, what it opens up is this idea of the media and the information that you get for the most part from mainstream press sources is not necessarily the way to always think about these events. So if you dig deeper, some of these events are weird. And a lot of times it's just people minimizing, you know, embarrassing connections that some of these people have had. But like, yeah, some of them very, especially the Manson, you know, some of those, you know, it's a very, like the overlap between violent cults and, you know, people that were musicians in that period of time in that area of California is pretty wild.
Yeah.
That is pretty wild.
I personally wouldn't make that correlation. I think it was, well, so I was setting this up to say that, like, then when I was going back and watching the Ted Bundy doc that just came out, fucking hilarious, because you're hearing about the techniques that they're using to try to catch him. Bundy had already killed like 9 people in the same town or whatever. And they're talking to the cops and they're like, well, we figured our best plan of action was just kind of walk around and hopefully we had see somebody committing a murder.
See what happens. Like, hopefully we'll catch it. Yeah.
No. And then they like, he got caught in Florida after escaping from jail. And they're like holding him. They're like, who is this mystery man?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Colorado FBI is looking for him. They just didn't have the technology. And you're just like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, literally the dumbest guy could commit a murder back then and not get caught.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is like, I don't know. People get, a lot of people have conspiracy theories about all that kind of stuff.
It's fun. It's fun. I don't have any conclusion on any of it because I don't know enough about it. And I haven't devoted enough time to it. But the some of the theories are like, are weird and interesting of like, oh yeah, did this person act alone? Did they always act alone? Were they always able to do this?
Yeah.
Was someone helping them? And for whatever reason, did that person not get caught? So it's like, that's always to me interesting.
Yeah, the technology wasn't there. People were off their phones and they fucking, back in the day, they loved serial killing. Nowadays, people, they're on their phones.
Yeah, they love
Instagram.
Short
attention span. They just want to, everything to go viral, so they do mass shootings.
Yes. Yes.
And
it's these millennials.
I mean, serial killers were dedicated, focused, hardworking people. Try to find one of them.
Yeah, now. Millennials are killing the serial killing industry.
They really have.
Millennials are killing the serial killing
industry. Yeah, it's just fucking short
they're
attention
mass
span,
the
mass shootings.
Yeah.
Damn. Pretty crazy.
God
damn.
Well, I never even talked. My grandpa passed away this year. Rest in peace. But he...
Was
an FBI agent. Oh. No, he's an FBI agent.
Never got caught.
Never got caught. There was always teeth around, you know?
No, but, and he was also Cook County State's Attorney. And he, he was Cook County State's Attorney while John Wayne Gacy was being investigated and prosecuted.
Oh, so yeah, you found
I mean, yeah, so I grew up with a crazy Gacy. He was there when they excavated the bodies.
Yeah.
So, God. Like, he has this.
I'm a John Wayne truther.
Yeah.
And I think that he was just, you know, misunderstood clown.
God. Well, what it comes down to, he was a great clown.
Well, it is crazy because he like was super charming and like,
yeah.
One of the things my grandpa used to tell me about was like the prosecution process, because we could even talk about it in length, maybe on a Patreon or something one time, because he has crazy stories. But like,
yeah,
my grandpa got elected state's attorney by like the Black Panthers had his support randomly. Like he was like a weird situation. There was like a lot of corruption in Chicago.
Interesting.
And he got, but so he was kind of like had a name for himself and politically. And John Wayne Gacy was a member of his local Democratic Party. Like very
Wild.
Local, right?
Yeah.
Very local.
Of course.
And my grandpa
Democrat.
Was like a Chicago Republican.
Yeah.
State's attorney.
Right.
But when he would like the first couple days in court, he like literally wouldn't shut up and wouldn't stop talking to my grandpa about politics, like trying to like be like Bernie, like trying to call him like in court, be like, what do you think of this election coming up? Like, who do you got? Like, not even in a creepy way.
Yeah.
Just like literally like having to, my grandpa would have to stop the prosecution and be like, Mr. Gacy, I'm prosecuting you for murder right now. I cannot talk to you about a local election.
Oh, this is during the murder prosecution.
Yeah, so
he
like wound up putting out one of the assistant attorneys on
being
there.
Like,
this election
cycle sure is crazy,
like,
huh?
This is wild. Are you seeing what's had the smears, the ugliness?
But it is crazy because like he had, so I did a tweet. I posted, when my grandpa died, I posted like this picture. He has a pristine Gacy business card that he picked up when they were raiding his house. Because Gacy, they didn't know the scope of Gacy when they caught him. Like he finally got on like one charge. And when they initially are going into his house, they think he's like some guy that did one crime. And so like, they're just walking around and he sees the pile of business cards and he's like, you know, John Gacy, president, like local, like Democratic Party. He's like, oh, I'm going to pick this up. This is gonna be funny to like taunt my Democrat friends or whatever.
Yeah.
Funny. Of course, then they start, like they start finding shit in the house and start excavating like one after the other for over the course of like a week. Mm-hmm. And then it just evolves. But it's
how many bodies did they take out?
How many was it? 20? Like
I couldn't tell.
I'm not good. I don't have a good memory.
Yeah. It's too
but
many. It's gratuitous.
It is crazy. And like a lot of those stories were like weird details were like almost funny. It's very surreal.
I mean, it's sad. It is. That's why those murder podcasts really work, because a lot, like when you talk about this stuff, it's so dark that it lends itself to being funny. You got to be funny about it. And some of the details are absurd and funny.
Yeah.
So like, you're kind of like
the funniest, a funny detail I'll cap that off on is that, that business card picture went kind of viral, which I didn't want. Like I posted it. My grandpa had literally just died. It was like the day of the funeral. I was kind of posting it foolishly, I guess, for the people I know, just like, hey, my grandpa died. Like, this is kind of crazy fact.
Right.
But it went viral and it got into like the definitely like the My Favorite Murder crowd where people are leaving comments where it's like, dude, like you're talking about a dead person here. Like you got to chill. Like this is not like My Favorite Murder podcast. Like a guy.
What are they saying?
I can't even remember. It was just like a little like out of pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Where it's like, and then the funniest out of pocket thing where this was just like literally funny was like, I get a DM and a bunch of tweets from an account called like Chicago History Museum or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds
and they're like, they like message
like
me and they're like, they want to ask about the card or whatever. And I'm like, awesome. Like I'm super stoked. And I like message them because like my grandpa was like involved in a bunch of really cool things in history that he like didn't talk about when he was alive. Just because like he was very professional.
Yeah.
But he would have loved to preserve the history, so I was like super down to help this like museum, like whatever it is. And I messaged them like, what could I do, blah blah blah, like they're like, hey, so my husband really likes John Wayne Gacy and it's his birthday coming up and I want to buy the business card. How is $40?
Oh, wow. God.
You motherfucker.
What
like,
a
I
nightmare.
I thought they
oh
were
my
like
God.
And then I realized it's not even like a real museum, like I don't even know.
Yeah.
And then I was like you like, want to buy my girl? Like,
it's
the only
a room
I'm
in
like,
their house.
I'm like, this is the only thing I inherited from him.
You're like, but I will give you a shout out on Cameo.
No, then they're like,
as
okay,
John
how about,
Gacy, as a clown.
They're like, how about 60?
Oh my God.
Nightmare. God.
And it kept going. They were like getting
so mad.
That's why
we need more serial killers.
It was just like,
get rid of these fucks.
Yeah, it was just so fucking insane.
Yeah.
And it was just like, the excuse was like, oh, my husband
likes
the murderer.
He likes John Wayne
Go
Gacy.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that's the type of
people
I'm talking
very,
about.
I think it's just that it's like you have a very boring life and it's the idea is like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'm obsessed with this killer.
It's the funniest thing ever to see like a tweet about like, hey, this is something very, very important to me. I want to share it with you guys because it's one of a kind and it means a lot to me. And so message them, be like, yo, how about I buy you that for $220 bills?
Yeah, $40.
Can you imagine if I was like, done, bitch, let's go.
Let's go.
Damn. Send me that. Cash
Absolutely.
Out.
Yeah, just $19 more and I could buy the new Call of Duty game at GameStop.
Yeah. Sorry, fuck John Legacy didn't sign it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sorry, he didn't have his signature.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Anyway, we should probably wrap this up, otherwise we don't.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean,
I appreciate it. Thanks
plug
for having
your
me.
Plug away your podcast.
Yeah,
I
Tim Dillon's
to
going to hell. We do a lot of fun stuff. We have comedians. We also do some, you know, true crime, whatever bullshit stuff. Tim J. Dillon, Dillon, is Twitter and Instagram. Instagram's got some fun food pics.
We love that. Oh yeah, you went to Jolly. You fucking.
Yeah, we did a video
of
Jollibee, which is on Twitter right now.
Yeah, check that out.
It's the best restaurant in LA because the chef is a raccoon. Because everything's like eggs and hot dogs and cheese and fish heads.
Excuse me, sir. That is a Filipino trope.
Yeah,
a Swagapino staple.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really good. Everyone that eats there is a serial killer. It's a great.
Yeah, because it's like it's. Fucking, it's fried chicken and spaghetti.
Yeah, it's a fun video to
it's
do
out of control.
Because we thought, like, we're like, oh, we're excited to do this dumb talk show where I set up a desk. We used to have a green screen. We still have a green screen that just has an old picture of the Twin Towers, but sometimes we take the desk out in, like, Runyon or whatever. We'll just rent a van, take the desk out, and we're like, oh, we have to do this video really quick because we're outside Jollibee. So, like, 5 minutes, they're going to, like, tell us to leave, like, we could have done it for 6 hours.
Oh,
like, we
Jollibee
literally
is
could have,
international waters.
Yeah, we could have shot a movie, a person.
You could have shot a person.
No one can. Yeah. But it's fun. So all that stuff's on Twitter.
I kind of look like the Jollibee mascot. The Jollibee.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind
of do.
The, like,
yeah,
well,
you're
really,
do. You have
you're
the
really,
vibe.
You have that. It's just you're just kissed by Filipino.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a kiss of Filipino.
It's a touch. It's a
It really is a touch.
Yeah.
It's,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's in the Rampart area, I think. So
there's
like,
a bunch.
Yeah. They
like
just assume you're like a really well-behaved homeless person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's but yeah, because it's when Beverly turns into right before Beverly turns.
Honestly,
into
this could easily, if we had the time, this could be a back-to-back pod because I have so many things.
I have things I want to talk about.
I'll come back to LA.
I could have talked about pedophile face. That's a whole thing I need to talk about.
That's
just people who have pedophile face.
Jollibee face. All those
Jollibee face. I've been up late at night. Just reading my Nextdoor app about like, I've seen a lot of patterns.
Oh yeah,
of, like,
Jack's wired. Right
oh, I
now.
I tap into the neighborhood.
You're in.
Yeah.
You're
in. I'm tapped in. I could keep going. If you need somebody to come in and talk about crimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Chicago, March 10th at the Hideout.
Oh yeah, our boy's gonna be
there.
Come through.
And I don't think I have any plugs. Sign up for our Patreon.
Ticks in the
oh, definitely
in the
sign
bio.
Up for the Patreon because that horny episode we just dropped was one of my favorites. Honestly,
I was
dreading
fun,
doing the horny episode, but
the 10K horny pod was solid.
What's great about it is that we didn't say anything negative on that pod. It was only positivity.
It was true positivity.
I left
hour,
feeling wired.
Yeah,
it was, I let him be.
What'd you do? Just got
well.
Horny?
He's been banned from being horny on the podcast for almost a year.
Wow.
And that ban just got lifted, so I was like, you could be as horny as you want.
So he.
And
really,
we went off, but it is a great episode because it's a lot of Brandon just telling stories about how many life decisions have been based on like Brandon going to tricking his whole family to take him on like a trip to Six Flags or something because he thinks he's going to be able to see a bra there or something like that. Like,
not that specific.
No, I mean, it technically sort of, it was a Rams game.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of like, you know. Like red strings on Brandon's childhood wall connecting, and then at the end is a brassiere that he wants
crazy.
To get horny for. You know, but wonderful episode.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
well,
for doing the pod.
Thanks guys. On. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, guys. Jack here. So after we recorded this episode, me and Brandon got some really shocking and upsetting news. One of our friends, friend of the show, Pipus the Wise, a.k.a. Matt Larson, passed away this week. He was a comedian, director, honestly, just like an all-around creative force. He was also a guest on our live podcast in Philadelphia, along with his creative partner, Kendra. And so we're both super upset about this. It's always sad to see somebody die young, but... in the case of Pipus, I mean, this guy was like a creative powerhouse. Everything he was doing, I was a huge fan of. I always thought that, you know, he was like 1 week away from having both a hit TV show and also being like walking in a Balenciaga New York Fashion Week show, because he's also just a beautiful long-haired bro. But yeah, I'm just very, very upset to see his life cut short. So me and Brandon wanted to play a clip from when him and Kendra joined us in Philadelphia. Brandon didn't know who these guys were. I knew them from before. I also knew that they might come to the show, and I wanted to pull them up on stage because Pipus and Kendra actually were the guys behind that infamous Matt Ox music video, the little kid rapper. So I was excited to pick their brain about that. I think I knew they had like even discovered him. They're very involved, but Brandon didn't even know this. So I just during a lull of the show, I just called them up, and Pipus was super down. Pipus and Kendra came up, and what proceeded was a very hilarious onstage interaction, onstage meeting of them and Brandon. And Brandon actually ended up going out in the town with them till like literally 5 a.m. I think they even played charades at somebody's house. I had like an early flight I had to catch, but Brandon met them on stage, and then they like took him all over Philadelphia. So I'm very, very sad to see him go, but I wanted to just play this clip and kind of say rest in peace, Pipus the Wise, on behalf of Yeah But Still. If you guys want to check out any of Pipus and Kendra's work, you go to publiccinemaclub.com. Pipus also has tons of his clips up on his Instagram. It's at Pipus the Wise. And then Kendra, who's also in this clip, his Instagram is Kendra_uncut. All right. Rest in peace, Pipus. Here's that clip from the time he was on our Philadelphia show.
What's up? I'm Pipus.
Yo, I'm Kendra. We made that Mount X video, I guess.
Wait, how did that come to be? Oh, we got a mic for you guys. This is Brandon, by the way. You guys haven't met each other.
Hey, what's up? This is... Wait, by the way, that was insane. That was insane. Yeah. What's up, man? Hey, what's up? Honestly, this is... Okay, the way you brought up these guests, which I barely knew was going to happen.
I want to fucking bring up my boys, dude. Fucking dude.
You just like brought up your boys.
I'm sorry.
Mid conversation.
We were expecting to be a lot younger, but we're a little bit older than you thought.
No, but I don't understand. So like,
look, we're giving them interesting material.
Okay, a lot of these people don't know who Matt Ox is.
Look, these guys found a boy, okay, in the streets of this town. They're like, this little boy's got some talent, right? Is that how it went?
Yeah. Well, basically, like, I was at this like club, and my boy was like, "Yo, you gotta see this like new 12-year-old." Like,
called Ping Pong?
It was 12-year-old. Not that club.
It's not like the pizza game.
Okay, okay.
And he used to date Matt's mom.
So, dated the boy's mom in high school.
Yeah. So pretty much like he was chilling with this like group of like producers working on Dying in the Club. And they were like, "Yo, we have this like super hot like 12-year-old like."
I would change the way you tell that story.
Okay. We've done a lot.
I would maybe not tell that story the way you just told that story.
We've done a lot of child molestation material, starting with the clip from the show, the sexy kid. We've done the Pizzagate.
Oh, we haven't even showed the clip.
Oh, we haven't?
No.
Okay, we'll do that after.
You're drunk.
Okay, we're. You guys, I told you we're off that loud beer, okay?
After this, let's show them the clip.
I've drank fucking 3 beers, guys. Woo! You know, it's a mess.
It's the first time I'm hot.
Anyway, okay, wait. All right, so keep it going. See, you heard about this hot kid.
Yeah, and he, like, only had, like, Twitter videos where he's, like, rapping, like, into his, like, phone.
Yeah.
And we're like, "Yo, this kid's, like, fucking popping. We gotta work with him."
Yeah. Yeah, so then we were like, we did 2 videos. That was the second video we did for him.
Oh, really?
What was the video called?
Overwhelming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with Maddox's Overwhelming?
it's a little kid that released this rap video that got extremely huge. He was like, had fidget spinners in his video, but it somehow worked. I don't really know. He was like...
Yeah, well, so like the day before the shoot, like Kendra was FaceTiming with him. And he was like, yo, my like my boy's going to be bring like a real piece, like a real John.
Like a real gun. Like a real
gun
to shoot.
To the No.
So we were like, wait, like don't bring a gun. Like,
wait, Maddox said that?
Yeah.
This is like a 12-year-old kid, by the way.
So we were like, no, please, like, don't bring a gun.
Like I'll never have a 12-year-old point a gun at me, on camera. Like,
I mean, oh, my God.
I would do it if I needed to, but it's like we, like, didn't need it at all. So
we're like, let's roll with fidget spinners.
There weren't guns in the video, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like, no, like, we don't think we should have a gun in this. And he was like, well, like, I'm not trying to be on, like, no little kid shit. And we're like, yo, we completely respect that. Like, we don't want you.
He is a little kid.
Yeah. But he's a cool ass.
He's a cool ass kid. And so we made the video in like 2 hours and edited it that night, and then flew to Mexico like the next morning to like shoot
to
a show for Super Deluxe.
Yeah, it escaped the charges.
And then like it went viral while we were in Mexico, and we couldn't even upload it to our own page.
And then there's just this like kid, and he had like a couple fidget spinners, and they were like pretty tight, and we were like, yo man, like could we get that in the video? He was like, yeah, I got like 10 more back in my house. So he just went and grabbed them, and it just like happened like super organically like that. It was tight.
Wait, so your friend dated his mom?
Yeah.
What the fuck is
like
this
when
mom?
He was like 13.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say,
boy's ex-girlfriend is like, does she know her kid has a gun?
No.
His friend had a gun.
He was showing us like how cool he was that he had homies with guns. But we were like we get it. We know that you're that cool, but you don't need to do that like outright, you know?
Jesus Christ, this is a lot different than I thought it would be. Brandon's a little perplexed.
Yeah, I mean, I barely knew this was gonna happen.
I've never met these guys in person, by the way. We've talked to each other.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw you guys, and I was like, I'm curious, personally. Nice to meet you guys.
Yes, thank you. Nice to meet you guys. Give it up for them.
Yeah, give it up.